and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Father, we thank you for another moment of reflection. You brought us here this morning to worship you, just as it was done in the days of old. We do pray, O God, that in the course of this worship we will experience you again. The very message of Christmas that you have in store for us will not elude us. Take over, O God, the lip, this clay of lip, at lips of clay, and glorify yourself and bless your people through it, O God. Cause me to decrease as you increase, and speak your word expressly in a language they will understand. Let your word be a blessing to us in the course of this message. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Please have your seat. Christmas, a prophecy fulfilled. That was the topic I announced the day we had our carol that I'll be meditating on today. Christmas, a prophecy fulfilled. Let me begin by letting us understand that right from creation, God has a special plan for humanity. Right there in the Garden of Eden, Scripture says after the creation of everything that God created, the Lord looked through all of them and he said to himself, "It is good." At the center of it all, he placed man to inherit and enjoy every bit of what God has created. To the extent that wild animals will live side by side with man without any problem. The relationship between God and man was so cordial, to the extent that the Almighty, in the cool of every evening, will come down from heaven to have fellowship with man. I see Adam and Eve say to themselves once in a while, when God comes in the evening, we will ask him this question. Can you imagine how it will look like if God were to come and walk through the arsenal into our Savior's chapel this morning? I would say, this is God. There will have been no coronavirus. There will have been no any iota of discomfort that we experience today. Wonderful fellowship Adam and Eve were having with God, until that fateful day when the tempter came and disrupted the agenda of God for humanity by turning the hearts of man against God. And man became disobedient to the instruction of God. The eternal cordial relationship that existed between man and God was severed on that fateful day, when God called, "Adam, where are you?" For the first time, God asked that question. Prior to that day, when God will be entering into the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve will be looking forward to the arrival of God. But that day, they were praying that God should not come, because there was an alienation, a separation, a gap was created between man and God. There was a disfellowship. There was a disconnect. The pleasure, enjoyment, fulfillment, name it, that man had prior to that day came to an abrupt end. Man was banished from the presence of God. good news was that on that same fateful day, it was not the following day, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God himself said, the Son of Man shall bruise the head of the serpent. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the beginning of the prophecy, the promise of redemption, because God had original plan for man, which he never wanted to be disrupted until man turned his back against God. And God said, I will come back again. I will restore you back to myself. I will grant you the dominion I hitherto gave you that you lost. This time around, it will no longer come in on a platter of gold. Blood has to be shed. And the blood of animal will not be able to settle this. It will take the blood of my only begotten son to bring this about. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the commencement of the prophecy of the redemption of humanity that came about. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Time and over again, God kept reminding man about this promise of this redemption. Is it in Leviticus? Is it in Micah? Is it in Isaiah? The prophecy kept on coming. Man will falter and fall back. God will initiate the process of redemption again. It continued all through scriptures. The prophecy of the birth of Jesus was on for several years. In fact, it was said that between when Isaiah prophesied this prophecy we read today and when the eventual birth of Jesus came about, it was over 400 years. But God is a covenant-keeping God. That was why he says in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, my word that has come out of my mouth will not return to me void. It will accomplish the purpose for which I have sent it. Right from that day, that the plan of the redemption of man was heralded or announced by God himself, the Jews were looking forward to it, even though they had a misconception about this whole process. They were looking forward to it. It was said that the intertestament period was again about 400 years. They were called the 400 silent years. Because in between the Old Testament and when the New Testament was birthed, there was a palpable silence, confusion, as it was prior to creation. That was how it was. No prophecy was coming anymore. Everything seems to be at a standstill until that fateful morning when the news broke that the Savior is born. 3 points I want to underscore and I'll be done with the message. What is Christmas? Christmas reveals the light of God. Give me verse 2 of Isaiah chapter 9. Verse 2, Isaiah chapter 9. Thank you. Scripture says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. What is this light? Remember I said the intertestament period was about 400 years. The 400 silent years. The expectations of the Jews were so high, expecting someone who will come to bring about their deliverance. The palpable apprehension, anxiety, dread of prophecy, confusion, oppression. depression of the highest magnitude that was pervading humanity and the Jewish nation, they were cries here and there, waiting for an expectation. And as Isaiah said in that verse 2, the people walking in darkness, they have seen a great light. And who is this light? That light is Jesus. That was why, while he was going on with his earthly ministry, he would say, I am the light of the world. Anyone who has me, or those who have me, they cannot walk in darkness. The thick darkness that it had to overwhelm the world was extinguished on the day Jesus was born. That is Christmas. The despondency and hopelessness that pervaded the entire globe was wiped out in the twinkling of an eye. That yearning, that groaning, that expectation was met on Christmas Day. Beloved, what are we celebrating as Christmas? We are celebrating the light of the world. The question to us today is that light shining in your life? Has the light of Christmas entered into your home? Can that light be seen in you? Can it be seen in me? Someone has said somewhere that the lightest light will extinguish the darkest darkness. As the light of Jesus be able to remove the darkness that the world has placed upon humanity, upon us, upon our lives. Christmas revealed the light of God. Number two, Christmas broke the yoke of Satan. Hallelujah. Verse 4 of Isaiah chapter 9. Verse 4, media, please. For you have broken the yoke of his body and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. When Satan came that fateful morning and met Eve, he asked Eve, did God said? And he said, yes, he said. What did he say? We should not eat of the fruit that is in the midst of the garden. Satan painted a picture before Eve to the extent that Eve saw God as a wicked personality. Say, you stupid. You see yourself. God doesn't want you to be wise like him. God has been eating that fruit every day, want to keep it to himself. God is being wicked to you. I remember in those days, when we were growing up, our parents would tell us, when they cook egg, they would remove the white part of it and give to us. And they say the yolk is not to be eaten by children. So any child who eats the yolk of egg will become a thief, will have long throat. Therefore, the yolk is not meant for children, it is the whitish part of it. That's the kind of picture Satan was painting before Eve. God is a wicked God. He doesn't want you to enjoy what he was enjoying. Watch it now. I plucked the fruit. Did I die? Ladies and gentlemen, in that process, the devil subjected man, caged man, removed man from the place God placed him. Satan came and bodied us down. He came to put man in perpetual servitude under his control. But thanks be to God, on Christmas Day, that body was broken. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 4 says, you have broken the yoke of his body. That was the body. The body of sin. The body of rejecting God. the body of not having connection with God, no relationship, that body was broken at Christmas. Satan, having seen hell, took a decision, I will not go there alone, I will get some men and women to go there with me. The burden of this fellowship that existed between us and God was destroyed on that fateful morning. What a day of joy. This is what we celebrate at Christmas. And finally, Christmas brought a perfect gift. Verse 6, Isaiah 9, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What a gift! That God himself will leave his throne in heaven, come to the earth that Satan has bastardized. That God himself will come to live as an ordinary man, identifying with humanity, coming down to live like an ordinary personality. What a gift we have at Christmas. The gift of the only begotten Son of God. The gift of God coming to pay the price he did not owe. Because we owe a price, a debt, I beg your pardon, that we could not pay. What a gift. A question before us today. What gift are we exchanging at Christmas? To share place of rice, that's good. To exchange pleasantry, wonderful. To exchange chicken, wonderful. To wear Christmas shirt, like Mommy Asiya was telling me this morning, that's good. But beyond all of this, the greatest gift that is expected that we should give at Christmas is the gift of the Son of God. To go out there and tell someone about this cherished salvation that he has come to give us. Unto us, a child is born. To eat food on Christmas Day is not bad. To give out gifts is not bad. But the greatest gift that is expected that we share at Christmas is the gift of the Son of God. What is your plan for today? Do you have the mind to tell someone about this Christ? Has it been born in your heart today? Is the birth of Jesus something to be celebrated in a man, in a physical manner just for the fun of it? I read in an online news this morning some persons who went out to celebrate Christmas Eve. Six of them were in a jeep. They were returning that night about 4 a.m. They had accident. They were driving under the influence of alcohol. They had accident, and all the six died. What are you giving out today? An opportunity for us to tell someone about Christ. A woman sells in Warimen Market. Any customer that comes to her store, the first thing she will say, as in the form of greeting, is, "How is Christ?" It's an embarrassing question. Yeah, which Christ? And that's the beginning of her message. She will ask, "How is Christ?" What message are we giving out today? What have we decided to do to mark Christmas? It goes beyond eating. It goes beyond drinking. It goes beyond visiting. It is a time to share the love of God. that made him to send his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Bow your head as we pray. Brothers and sisters, today is yet another Christmas, a day to reflect on the essence of the Messiah's birth. A God on a faithful day was born in a manger, not in a palace. He took the lowly path. He went through pains like an ordinary man in order to bring about our redemption. Have you appropriated this Jesus in your heart? Christmas brought us a perfect gift. Christmas brought hope to a helpless world. Christmas destroyed the yoke of Satan from our lives. Christmas heralded the light that will dispel every form of darkness that hitherto had pervaded our lives. Have you appropriated him in your heart? Go and tell them, go and tell them, Jesus Christ has set me free. Go and tell them, go and tell them, he's coming back again. Go and tell them, go and tell them, Jesus Christ has set me free. Go and tell them, go and tell them, he's coming back again. Oh yes, go and tell them, go and tell them, Jesus Christ has sent me free. Go and tell them, go and tell them, he's coming back again. Our Father and our God, we appreciate you for the opportunity to be in your presence again. Not on any other day, but a day set aside to mark your birth. In fact, we are not celebrating December 25, but we are celebrating a day that the darkness that pervaded humanity was extinguished by you. We are celebrating a day that the yoke that the devil placed upon our lives was destroyed by you. We are celebrating a day where the perfect, the best gift that ever existed was given to humanity. We do pray, our Father, that you help us to have a Christmas that is full of Christ, not a Christmas that is Christ empty. We do pray, our Father, you will help us to appropriate the essence of your birth. We pray, our Father, that you will rekindle in us a renewed commitment to the cause of worshiping you, that you will grant us the grace to renew our vigor in reaching out to the unsaved world, to the dying world. That you will renew in us the commitment to share the gospel of your salvation that you brought to humanity by your birth. Help us to appropriate this, our Father. May you not allow the devil to disconnect us from you at Christmas. May you not allow the devil to becloud our sense of judgment with ephemeral things that are of no value. Help us, O God, to be conscious of the very essence of your coming, so that we will appropriate you in our hearts and we will live for you all the days of our lives. Thank you, our Father. Be born in our hearts today. help us, O God, to live a life that will reflect you. That when you come in your glory again, you will find us qualified and worthy of your kingdom. We appreciate you, O God. For in Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Pastor Robinson.
Worship the Lord with our offering. When Jesus was born,